Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host for today's show, Stephanie Whitehead. If you haven't listened to our show before, the eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself or my co-hosts, Tywana Wilson and Lona Small, bring you topics related to the laboratory and leadership to help you excel inside and outside of the laboratory. So do me a favor and like and share this episode. We always say, don't be stingy, share this episode with another laboratory colleague and join our conversation on our LinkedIn group, the eLaborate Topics group on LinkedIn. And today I am joined by a very special guest, a new friend of mine that I just met. If any of you were at the 2022 ASCP annual meeting, which was held in Chicago this year, you might have met her also, Ms. RJ Holmes. Hi, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you already. It's been amazing.
Well, I'm excited to have you on the show, and I'm excited for what we're going to talk about today. But first, I want the listeners to hear a little bit about you. So why don't you tell us all a little bit about yourself and your laboratory journey and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, sounds good. It's definitely different talking about myself. I'm usually now teaching and talking about everything else other than myself. But I started out in a very prominent cancer center in Houston, Texas, and I worked as a medical technologist, specifically micro, for about 7 years. I really enjoyed that journey, and I was interested in educating and teaching and things while I was in there. So I actually moved forward and started working for a medical device company. Essentially, that particular company saw me when I was working throughout the lab. I was setting up a lot of different things and processes for them when they would kind of come in, and they thought, hey, why don't you just look into teaching for us? And so I applied, and I did. And I really enjoyed traveling as a lab scientist, going and teaching the methods of the different instruments and devices that they had. Shortly after that, that was about a good 3 or 4 years of working in that industry. I ended up working or getting the opportunity to work for a company who trains those device companies. And we have different technologies and applications that they will use. And I'm essentially more of a corporate trainer of Fortune 500 companies that may be involved with medical device technologies and a lot of biotech in different industries.
Cool. So what continues to motivate you? Because I think I asked you this question when we were at the annual meeting, knowing that you work at a device company now, but you were previously a microbiologist. And I was like, well, you don't have to come to an annual meeting, but I'm glad you came because I'm glad I met you.
I'm grateful.
But what continues to motivate you to stay connected to the laboratory community and stay engaged through organizations like the ASCP?
It's very important for me to actually hear the people that I go out and educate. I say this because my experience with the medical device company shortly after my lab scientist actual working in the laboratory shifting into the device company, what I learned from a lot of different staff members across the country, because I traveled all across the US to do what I had to do, I learned a lot of concerns and people feeling like they're not heard, or as we're being taught these new devices within the industry, feeling like people are coming in and talking to them. I hate to say it, like they're idiots, and they're not. Mm-hmm. Being able to break things down into layman's terms for every person who's going to be trained on my different devices is important to me. When I worked in the lab, I was very I think we're all very detailed oriented in the laboratory. I was definitely that one who asked a lot of questions consistently. And maybe it was because I felt like my learning style was a bit different. So taking that into account, when I went out to my customer sites, it was very important for me to hear what they had to say. A lot of concerns were, honestly, sometimes the way we would go out and handle our business, not particularly my company, but other representatives or people who would come out and educate. And additionally, I heard a lot of the concerns as a laboratorian, not feeling heard by management, not feeling like they could move forward, and hearing that gap. I can say that I've experienced that. I've experienced someone unfortunately telling me once I got labeled into the laboratory, I couldn't go anywhere else. So not that the laboratory is a bad stopping point, but I also knew I wanted to educate more. So I thought, well, what could I do to have both? What could I do to include my lab knowledge and still educate and make sure these things are easy for people to understand? So it was that disconnect that I like to hear. It was unfortunate, but I did appreciate hearing it so I could go and share it. And that's kind of what my focus is for being a part of the meetings and hearing more of the voices they don't feel like they're advocated for.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that we really try to highlight in a lot of our episodes. If any of the listeners are familiar with our show, if you're not, go back and please listen to some of these. I'll try to link them in the bottom. But we've tried to incorporate so many different people as guests on the show that can highlight all of the different things you can do with this laboratory science background. I mean, the things you learn, you said yourself being detail oriented. Being an educator, effectively communicating, understanding processes, understanding details, all of these things are transferable, skills that you can put in IT, that you can put in education. So there's so much you can do with the laboratory background. And I'm glad that you have found your niche. With that, so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, I'm so excited for the show today. Is during your laboratory journey, you've actually been able to discover a very interesting intersection between laboratory medicine and just health and wellness, or functional medicine, as we've called it. And this is one of those things where, I mean, we've had over 100 shows, and I don't think we've ever discussed this, highlighted it. And actually, I had never thought of laboratory medicine having a role in health and wellness the way I did before I met you. I mean, you completely opened my eyes to a couple of things
That makes me happy.
about myself personally and how I could help even my family members who have chronic illnesses, high blood pressure or diabetes or things like that, as a laboratory professional, how we can be better patient advocates for our community and the people that we love. So I want to dive directly into that. So tell the listeners about, like I said, that intersection that you've discovered, I think through a journey for yourself between laboratory medicine and functional medicine.
Yes. So that definitely happened from multiple personal experiences. First one I could actually say involved my upbringing, and it was watching my bedridden aunt being taken care of and not really understanding what's going on with her. We grew up in a background where we weren't necessarily in the best situation, financially. And things of that sort. And so seeing the different foods and understanding the different processes, there was no concept of that growing up. It was just whatever's the quickest, the convenience store, whatever we could grab. So I watched her process gradually decline. And then I also, at the same time, being a student, having no knowledge of any of these things, I didn't really have anyone to kind of mentor me in any of these aspects. So caught myself gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining. By the time I got out of high school, it's a decent weight, not too overweight, but it was when I hit college and I did not have any concept of healthy eating. It was 2 a.m., fast food, largest combo ever, because my whole thought process was, well, it's cheap and there's a lot of it, so this will be good. And this was also a mental and physical thing, because growing up not having those things, I immediately just thought, let's get the largest, the biggest, not one slice, let's get a dozen, let's whatever,
A
let's
whole
get the
pizza.
largest portion we can have.
Yeah.
And I caught myself 50 pounds overweight.
But sometimes to me, even when you're in college, people glorify certain things as being expected. I mean, you hear like freshman 15. So
Yes.
it's almost like it's expected, it's normalized almost.
And it should not be, unfortunately. And I'll say this, it's because I feel like our society immediately equates, hey, let's go eat, it's going to help your stress. And it's actually the opposite in some cases. You get all of these things in you, you create these inflammation processes. You eat like crazy, you pick up these habits. I had headaches every day. I had so many things that I thought were a normal, because our society is thinking this is a normal. You're studying, you're gonna have a headache. Well, no, I realized my headaches were because my blood pressure was up, or I had too much sugar, or I didn't have enough water. And if we normalize more of not necessarily driving yourself nuts with training, but really having, making a conscious effort to include feel good foods that are more rich in like omega-3s and things like that. Those are the types of feel good foods that I mean, in comparison to pizza every day. And I'm not saying that those are horrible things, because I love cheat days. But it's very important. I think we need to shift and understand that what's happening outside, we should not be focused on just the superficial aspect of it. What's happening outside is a huge indicator of what's going on inside, and that's how lab medicine ties into functional medicine. For me, when I lost all that weight, the original things that I did involved diet and self-care and a lot of mental care. That mental care during the aspects of my schooling where I was stressed out, shifting it into going and doing cardio and maybe having my book with me instead of going out with my coworkers and classmates and drinking excessively, or whatever the case was. Again, I believe in that balance of doing both. But I did a major amount of that, and I went on a trip, and I remember walking, and I remember being very uncomfortable, and I had a personal situation where honestly my legs were rubbing and bleeding, I'll be honest. And I remember sitting there and I was crying about it, and I told myself I'll never do this to myself again, because I love me. There should be no reason why I'm treating myself so badly due to these stressors, due to these situations. And I ever since then shifted it into really understanding my lab values, my personal lab values, the people around me, their lab values, and how they tied into, again, with functional medicine. A lot of things that I've learned after getting the degrees in this is a lot of the things that I've learned involve how simple supplementation and nutrients that we're lacking can impact us on a cellular, the smallest cellular level. The way our energy processes work, the way we absorb certain things. There may be issues with absorbing things. And so the way those two tie into each other are we're looking at the things that we may be malnutritioned or malabsorption, whatever the case may be, and then assessing your labs and finding out where those problems are, because a lot of the time the medications, they're necessary if things have gone too far. And what I'm learning with functional medicine is there are a lot of things that we can see before if we focused on them. And
Now,
that's why lab medicine is so
what would
great
you
to me.
define functional medicine as?
Functional medicine incorporates some of the holistic and alternative approaches, but also really appreciates Western medicine at the same time. They need to work together in order to accomplish anything. It is seeing the whole picture and processing that. And I know with what my personal experiences with Western medicine has been, if I go to a focused physician, they will look at that focus, not the whole picture. If I have an endocrine issue, it may, they may decide to go ahead and give me an endocrine-based thyroid medication, something of that sort, when really the problem may not be your thyroid. It can be something else that's deep down on the cellular level. That's what functional medicine focuses on before we need that.
And so when you look at your body from an entire this I love talking about this. I don't guys, this might have to be a part one, part two. I guess I already feel it. Because I've gone through my own health journey, and part of it has been, like you said, the mental aspects of thinking that your body shouldn't change. You should look the same way you did when you were in high school and when you were in college, and you shouldn't have all of these changes that happen just naturally with the progression of age. But then also, I've gone through periods of weight loss and weight gain, strength and fitness, and then not working out and getting back into the gym, doing mainly cardio, but then going to CrossFit and doing CrossFit, incorporating Pilates, all of the things that are, I don't want to say fad, but popular in the industry or in society at that time. But then really having to settle in on, really what works for you, not paying attention to what is working for everybody else, but understanding like what is your health journey going to be. And a lot of that incorporates understanding what are your lab values, what are your baselines. I might be normal on certain tests, but on the low end of normal. And what does that mean for me? Not what it means for, half of society. And you really have to have a physician that is a partner with you on this health journey to help you understand what some of these lab values are instead of, just automatically. And medication is not bad, but if that is not your goal, if you don't necessarily want to be on medications and you want to try other alternatives, that a physician that will work with you or a clinician that will partner with you and making sure that you're getting the most out of your health journey. So what are some
Absolutely.
examples of some of these lab tests that can work with functional medicine to kind of tell that whole picture, like you said?
One of the biggest ones that I've discussed with a couple of people lately has been more of a fasting insulin. People say, yeah, I get that done all the time. No, you don't. Fasting glucose is different from a fasting insulin test. It will give you so many details that your glucose, fasting glucose, could actually miss. You can find out if you're pre-diabetic, if that's a term. It's not really, but you can find out so many things before even going into a pre-diabetic phase from fasting insulin. It is a little bit more expensive, so I'm told, and those are the challenges for some of these tests. Other tests can be as simple as finding out if certain values of things in your oxidative, I'm thinking your Krebs cycle and these other types of processes, these oxidative phosphorylation. There are different types of nutrients and things that we have throughout these processes, where if you're lacking those, then oh, no endocrine, hormone signaling. No, and it's the signaling that is usually the problem on these cellular levels that actually create these larger issues. So there are so many labs that I will actually look at when I'm getting maybe a physical, and people frequently ask, "Why are you asking for more of this? We don't really need to ask for this, but it's important." And there are a huge list of nutrients. I can, share those in a another podcast. I'm trying to think of a couple. I have a few. Magnesium is, there are so many things that if we were to understand more of that cellular level malabsorption and dysfunction, that we could actually fix these things before they happen. There are a lot of things involved with mental health that we lack due to sometimes nutrition or malabsorption and things of that sort, and we don't get to, we, our signaling processes don't work. So it's unfortunate because the disadvantage is once we see these lab values and these nutrients that are lacking, consistency is needed. A lot of our society wants to focus on, again, the fast, what's going to make me feel better now, what's going to, I need fast results. And the reality of this lifelong journey of taking care, self-care and mental health and all these things is it's going to take time. So those nutrient depletions, I think for a lot of people, vitamin D3 is vitamin D is excuse me, is lacking in a lot of people and a lot of lab tests. It wasn't until I personally experienced one of my supervisors saying, "Hey, if you're tired all the time, why don't you get your D checked?" And I thought, "Why would I do that? How does that tie into anything?" So some of these conversations helped me understand so many things that were going on with me. I never really tied vitamin D into why I was groggy or any other side effects or symptoms. And I did find out personally, I had little to none at a certain point of my life for a long time. So they were trying to figure out if it was a malabsorption issue, the fact that I wasn't getting it. And we resolved that. And lots of other things actually moved for the better after that. And it's interesting. There are so many small lab tests that we miss that are simple fixes. And you take vitamin D or you get more sun and
Yeah.
all is well.
Well, and I think it's so interesting because even when you're having this conversation about like mental health and wellness, and quick things that people can do, take a yoga class or take a walk. And again, it's the entire picture. And sometimes we try to remedy this to fix that, then we remedy that to fix this. I'm feeling groggy, so let me drink an energy drink. Now I can't sleep, so I'm taking melatonin to sleep. All of these quick fixes when, if you take a step back, do some of these
Yes.
evaluations that you're speaking of, get the entire, picture that you could really assist yourself long term. So as we take a deeper dive in trying to understand lab values for ourselves, how we can advocate for ourselves in this healthcare system, how we can better understand what we need to do to be holistically healthy. For our listeners, what advice would you give to them as to, I guess, quote unquote, where to start or in terms of their healthcare journey?
The best advice I have is first and foremost to give yourself some grace and understand that the second you make this decision to make your change, also understand that that's going to come with time. That's not, I'm going to give myself, you can have these short-term goals that are going to contribute to the long term, but you need to understand overall that I'm not going to feel better tomorrow. That's the biggest thing. I was so hard on myself for so long, and I was thinking I was doing everything, right, or what right was for me, or I've changed my eating and I'm not seeing changes or things like that. This is if you're going to be dedicated to your overall health, wellness, mentally, physically, it is a journey. It's going to be a long one. The simplest things I think I would recommend doing is making one small change, maybe a week or two. Biggest thing for me right this second is I don't have enough water, honestly. I need to work on having more water. So I know from my experience that when I don't have enough water, that's actually a signal to me. I'm sorry, when I get tired, sometimes I have to remind myself, well, did you have water? Because aside from eating, probably haven't had enough water for myself. And that happens a lot. I get groggy. I feel a little bit of brain fog and things when I don't have enough water. So it can be something small. Water. Okay. Water, 10, 15 minutes of self-care time. Because it's not realistic for people who have, children or two, three jobs and all the stuff to sit down and say, I'm going to take 2 or 3 hours to do nothing. It's not realistic. So I think a lot of people are lacking that time for themselves, even if it's just a few minutes to really just kind of process and be. I think that's really important for you to kind of decide what's healthy, what's right for you, what's good for you, or you in general. That downtime. And then changing up a couple of habits with your eating. Instead of eating at 10 p.m. as my last meal, I'm gonna make it 8 or 7. And then next week, maybe I'll eat something better. Doesn't have to be everything in one setting. When you set yourself up that way, you're gonna stop. When you say, I'm gonna eat better, I'm gonna drink all this water, I'm gonna get this time, I'm gonna train like crazy, it's not practical. For a lot of people, you start doing it, you stop, and you're just done. So it's understanding those baby steps and changes that need to happen throughout the time.
I feel like this is the perfect message as we kind of draw towards the end of the year. And people, if you're listening to this, we're recording this or will be released towards the end of the year 2022. But towards the beginning of the year, that's when people start thinking of New Year's resolutions. I always hate it because the beginning of the year, the gyms are so packed. By March, it thins back out. But I agree with what you're saying. This is great messages for as you're looking towards the beginning of the year, having a new year. A lot of people do the whole new year, new you type of thing. But it doesn't have to be an entirely new you. Small changes, over time can equal big changes in your entire journey and your entire future, right? So I currently work in management, in laboratory management. I've got a lot of employees that work under me. And, as a person that works in management, we're always hearing about, focusing on employee wellness, focusing on your workforce and your staff's mental health and wellness, and not just mental health, but physical health and wellness, giving people breaks, giving people, brain breaks and things like that, time to relax and appropriate, space and all of those things. As a person in leadership, from your aspect, knowing everything that you know about functional health as a person and their entire wellness, bringing their entire self to work, why is it important for leaders in the laboratory that might be listening to focus on their staff's wellness? And what are some best practices that you can bring, or they can let us know to bring wellness into the workplace when we're working in the laboratory?
When it comes to leadership and connecting with the staff, I think it's important for leaders to know that when their staff is fatigued and when you're having these different voices all kind of saying the same thing, it's important to listen and it's important to make sure that they, unfortunately, my thought process is the leader will fail if their team is not together. So everyone, they're what they need, and I understand with leadership, you can't fix everything. But I have been in certain scenarios with certain staff members that I've been told, yeah, we'll say something or we'll voice our opinion. And really the response is just, okay, yeah, just to kind of shut me up. It's unfortunate that our laboratorians feel that way, and it creates a negative environment that they never feel heard. I think it's for the mental health aspect of it, it's important to address these things in a different way. Now, when it comes to leadership, I'm not necessarily a manager or a supervisor or things of that sort. These are just suggestions that I've heard. I've had a lot of people vent to me while I was teaching or in the laboratory, just saying, how did you ever get to a point where you felt hurt in the laboratory? And I was very honest with them. I did have certain scenarios, many, where I did not feel heard. And the big question to me is, what made that leader feel the need to, we never know what each other or what everyone's experiencing, everyone else is experiencing. I've had managers who are saying, hey, I get just as much negative feedback from my higher ups as you, so I don't know what to do. I'm in this place where I'm not sure. And I think that if we sometimes communicate that a little bit better, it's not a, you don't have to feel weak or you don't have to feel weak when you're doing that. I think when some leaders feel that they have to give off this entire amount of strength all the time and they're not honest and vulnerable, sometimes there is a limit with the things that they're experiencing as well. You're going to make your clinicians and lab techs and things that are following you just feel like they're just numbers. There are plenty of lab techs and scientists who feel that they're just numbers. They don't meet their goals. I think, funding, that's a whole nother issue. There are a lot of stressors that a lot of people feel like they're not heard or advocated for. So I think with leadership, if there's some focus on more, advocacy, then people will feel a little bit more positive about the laboratory environment. I've had a really good buddy of mine recently. I helped with the cancer walk. I was a co-captain for our cancer walk, and one of the things that he mentioned was, the way that nurses and things are advocated for, I would really love for our lab staff to be advocated for. And I don't feel that we need a brainiac scientist on IG or anything like that. He's like, I feel like we need the marketing that they have. Anything to get more knowledge of what we're doing. He says, because what disappoints me is that we do so much for the lab, yet we're treated, or for healthcare in general, and we're treated like nothing. So a lot of them, and these were not, these are just some words that I just wanted to share from someone who is currently experiencing the lab field. Advocacy is a huge thing for some of them, and they are currently feeling like their management and leadership is not in that way, or if our organizations could further enhance advertising or promotion for our industry, because no one knows. It's go, Nurse Week or Doctor Week, and we love all of them, everyone. We love every single part of our healthcare, workers. We love all of them, but we do notice that without lab techs and lab scientists and all these people, some of these results would not get to the floors. So it creates it, there are huge impacts of what we do, but we people know nothing about it. So leadership, I hope that we focus on advocacy outside of the laboratory and into, more of how the patients will know us, how the physicians will support and appreciate us,
Yeah, you definitely have to make sure that you're helping your staff understand their role in the bigger picture of medicine. I will ask you, because your career journey has taken you through so many different arenas, and then your own personal journey and growth has taken you so many different places. What is next for you? Personally and professionally, where do you want to go with all of this knowledge?
I do want to assist with advocating our laboratory scientist field, and I'm trying to decide what's the best path for me to do that, as well as it's very important for me to incorporate functional medicine and lab science together as well. I am trying to decide if I'm going to consult in that arena, if I'm going to partner up with, a facility to increase more awareness about functional medicine and tie in. Our laboratories are a given. But I'm trying to bridge that gap because even with microbiology, back to my original roots, microbiology, the gut microbiome, and so many things related to microbiology impact functional medicine and our lab values. So there is something there for me to make sure I get out for, wellness and overall health and well-being, but definitely tying it into lab medicine. So I'm actually still trying to decide that myself.
We are
I am.
definitely all waiting on the ends of our seat to see what that is. And we are all here to support you because honestly, like I said earlier, it's intertwined. You can't separate it,
No.
we bring our whole selves to work, and there are health struggles that each one of us individually are working through. And just like you said, just understanding different ways to look at it, looking at things from the whole picture. What am I eating? What am I drinking? Am I exercising? Am I taking a moment to breathe and think, and de-stress myself, de-elevate myself during situations? All of these things help me to be the best me as possible.
Yes.
And, again, where we are the first people to understand outbreaks, where we are the first people to understand the best ways to diagnose people, we're also the first people that maybe can identify deficiencies
Yes.
and alternative illnesses in individuals or even in ourselves. So
Yes.
all this information that we have, we need to turn it around and use it to help ourselves, help our family members, help our community, advocate to use your lab values as a part of your entire health and wellness journey. So as we wrap up, why don't you let the listeners know how they can connect with you if they have other questions, or if they're just like me and they listened and they said, you know what, I've been working out forever, ever. Give me some advice, give me some direction. RJ, how can you connect with our listeners after this?
Yes, so you are able to find me at RJ Holmes would be my LinkedIn, literally just RJ Holmes, and it'll have MS, MLS, ASCP on it. And then you can also find me at through IG, and it's at RJ HOL dot MES.
All right, guys, we have given so much information today. There's so much more that we can discuss, but we only have so much time in these. So I'm gonna make RJ commit right now to coming back because we already know we're gonna have some follow-up questions for her.
Definitely. I'll be joining you.
That New Year, New You podcast is waiting with your name on it. Ma'am, you're gonna commit.
Sounds great.
Thank you for joining the show today. This was awesome. I appreciate
Thank you for having me.
it. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Elaborate Topics podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on all major platforms. And we are on Labvine now. We love being an affiliate with Labvine. It's such a great place to go for all the things you need as a laboratorian. And so you could subscribe to us there also and listen to all of our previous episodes on LabStream through Labvine's platform, LabScreen's platform. You can connect with me or follow me on all my social medias at Stephanie Y. Whitehead. Like I said, be sure to share this episode. We've put out a lot of good information here, and I want everybody to hear it. And until then, have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.